This is Chad Greenway, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome in. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn is here. We thank Chad Greenway for the introduction, and we wish you a Happy New Year. Get your streamers out. Pop the champagne. Let's have a party. The 2017 NFL League year has begun. It did so Thursday at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, the launch of free agency and the trading period and a new year in the NFL. And so begins, because it's free agency, all the guys are gone and we haven't signed anyone yet, so we're screwed narrative.
Vikings Twitter is melting down as we speak.
Oh, they gave Whitworth $13 million. We couldn't do that? Narrative has begun. It's like it's Thursday at 12 o'clock, and I want to tell people, hey, free agency starts at 3 o'clock today. It doesn't end at 3 o'clock today.
That being said, let's put things into perspective. This Wobcast will be basically irrelevant by the time you listen to it.
Right. Which gives us...
Which we thank you for doing anyway.
Right. And that gives us another reason to record another one.
That it does.
And we like talking into microphones, so we will do that. More on free agency plus fan mail coming up. But first, we're going to get to two non-free agency topics, Nate. The topic of the week in Vikings Nation was Farewell 52 as Chad Greenway hangs him up after 11 seasons as a Viking.
11 years ago or 12 years ago, Chad was the first player that was drafted under the Wilf ownership. And the Wilfs had an idea of what they wanted in a football player. And not only did Chad show that on the field, but his contributions off the field speak for themselves. He's been four-time community player of the year. He's had over 1,300 tackles on the field. He's been a great mentor to every player that we've brought through this organization about showing them not only how to prepare as a pro, how to be the best you can be on the field, how you help your football team win games, but more importantly, what you do off the field.
You know, Chad, for the 3 years that I've been here, has been a tremendous help to me, to this team, to this organization. Anytime I had any kind of message with this football team or the organization, he was always there to sell it and help in any way possible. He was a guy I could lean on an awful lot in the locker room, a guy I would come in and talk to a lot about things that are going on throughout the course of the football team. And, you know, like I've said before, I wish I would have had him when he was younger, actually when we were both younger, right?
You know, first off, just thank everybody for coming. This is an honor. This is something actually that I requested. There's a lot of different ways to retire, and we all saw Jared Allen right off into the sunset last year. We've seen the different ways to do it, but I just thought it would be so fitting for me. I'm so proud of the fact that I played in this organization for 11 years. I'm so proud of the fact that I'm from South Dakota, went to Iowa and played in Minnesota, and from this tri-state area. I'm so proud to be a part of this community. To be able to hold the torch for small towns, not only in upper Midwest and South Dakota and Iowa and Minnesota, but really all across the country about being a nine-man football player from Mount Vernon, South Dakota, population 400. And to realize my dreams of playing the NFL for 11 years, a dream that I started when I was 5 or 6 years old. I was holding the gate for my dad when he was feeding cattle, and I told him I'm going to play pro ball. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I'll never forget it. He's like, well, it's going to take a lot of hard work, but it's possible. And it's sort of one of those moments you just never forget as a kid. And my dad was my hero. And I think when he said that, it's something like, you know what, I'm going to try to do that. And it took a lot of work. It's taken a lot of effort and a lot of good luck. But as I got to the point where I got a little older and I started getting recruited, and you go through those times, you realize that growing up in that environment on the farm and in that community was the reason I'm not only been able to have success at Iowa, but also be able to have 11 years of success here, continued success, was all because of not only, you know, who I am, but what made me who I am by my parents and my background, my farming background, and that community. And that's an honor to be able to carry the torch for all those folks across this country that grew up like that, and all those kids that live in that area that have the same dream that I had. And you know, it's been an honor and a privilege.
You can, if you watched the full press conference of Chad's earlier in the week, and you can even pick up on it right there. I mean, an emotional day for Chad as he reflected back on his career. And, you know, Chad's been, you know, he's personified on the field. He's personified what a Viking is. You know, he's tough, he's rugged, durable, played in all the games. You know, he missed his rookie season with an ACL injury, but was a tough, durable player, was productive, was a leader. But there, at this moment, Nate, you know, you saw some, I don't want to say vulnerability, but you saw just, you know, him put his guard down and be emotional. Pretty cool to see.
Yeah, very cool. And some of the things he had to say were interesting. Just, you can start with the amount of people he thanked. Mm-hmm. It basically started right after we cut off from that soundbite. He started thanking people for about half an hour, it seemed like.
Yep.
So someone who was very grateful for not just his coaches and teammates, but everybody in the organization. And you could tell because basically all those people he thanked were sitting there watching him end his career.
I have not seen a more graceful retirement press conference in my time with the Vikings, and I haven't seen a player go out with as much grace or class during my time with the Vikings, just in general, as what we saw from Chad this week. A couple interesting things from what Rick said, 1,300 tackles in Chad's career. It's over 100 tackles a year on average. That's amazing. And I thought it was interesting that Mike Zimmer said he's a guy who would carry my message throughout the locker room. And, you know, these guys are all adults, but I mean, you do need leaders to be in the locker room and to echo what the coach says, because when a player hears it from a player, he hears it in a different way than he hears it from a coach. And that Mike Zimmer could rely on Chad Greenway to be the message carrier for him was significant, and that's the role that Chad played probably for Leslie Frazier as well, and maybe even the last year of Brad Childress's tenure, even though Chad was a much younger player then, but definitely during the Leslie Frazier tenure and the Mike Zimmer era, you know, Chad was that guy. So, you know, people ask me all the time, who are some of your favorite players you've ever interviewed or you've ever, you know, been around, and Chad is like at the top of that list. I mean, Matt Burke is certainly someone that I mention a lot in talking about that type of guy or that type of player. Adrian has been that way. But Chad definitely at the top of that list. And someone we'll see around. We don't have to say goodbye to him because he'll be around. He's going to live in Minnesota. He'll be around the organization, maybe even the facility. And so that's nice that we don't have to say goodbye. But we do, look back on his career with fondness and, hate that he's all done playing, but it happens to every player. Father Time is undefeated. So now Chad joins a fraternity of Vikings legends, Vikings alumni. We call them Vikings legends. And more than a few of them, showed up for Chad's press conference, and we caught up with some of them, including some great words from the Vikings all-time tackles leader, Scott Studwell.
Well, you know, this is what makes everything we do worthwhile. I was the college director when we drafted Chad, and if we had 52 more Greenways, we'd have a championship here. So, you know, he's a guy he would have played the game for free. He's a great asset to this organization. He's a great asset to the state of Minnesota. There aren't enough superlatives to go around. Chad's just a tremendous. He's been a great player for us, and he's even a better person. And he's going to be a great asset to this community for a long time.
Just a great guy. Beyond football and just as a person. You couldn't ask for a better friend and a better teammate. How he's, come up through the years and become the man that he is. I'm really proud to say that he is my friend.
It was great to have a great Iowa player come here, and we hadn't had any for a few. We had Hilgenberg and a few guys like that, but to come here and to hear his unusual high school quarterback. I mean, there's nothing I can say. Everything I would say would be minimal to what he's accomplished, and I'm so happy for him that he had this career. It's great that he was able to go out on his terms. Not very many people get to do that and to play with one team for this long, you know. And we're proud of him from Iowa, you know.
Well, I thought it was great. He did a fantastic job. I was just saying the best thing he did was to thank everybody, because there's so many people involved when you have a career like he had. And he's a classy guy and fits in the mold of Vikings like when I played, and had a lot of respect for, you know, the fans, for the teammates, for everybody that was here, the staff, coaches, because it all and it's amazing that he can really, you know, see that at this point, just leaving the game. But I thought it was very thoughtful, very respectful, and it'll be an honor to have him be part of the alumni group.
Well, I think he joins a great tradition of linebackers with the Vikings. He goes along with Studwell, McNeil, Hilgenberg, Seaman, Blair, Winston, and we've had some great, great linebackers. And he can fit in with that group certainly very well. It's quite an honor to be included in that group. And his career has been as storied as any of theirs has. And he's welcome to retirement, Chad. I recommend it.
That's Bud Grant, of course. Before him, Carl Eller. And then before that, Freddie Zamberletti and Jimmy Kleinsaucer. So very flattering words of Chad from those guys. And, Nate, you're a big Iowa guy, as everyone listening knows. And so I know that you had some admiration and respect for Chad as well. And you got a chance to work with him a few years here.
Yeah. It was cool to see. He played for the 2003 to 2005 mm-hmm. Iowa teams. And that was kind of right as I was, really getting super into Iowa football, probably too into it. Yeah. But that's what happens down there. There's not much else to pay attention to.
Yeah.
So it was cool. Like, I went to a handful of his games when he was in college, and just seeing him, be in the league for 11 years, basically play 10, mm-hmm. But all for the Vikings, and seeing like how proud he is of being from South Dakota.
Yeah.
Going down to Iowa. That's the furthest south he ever played, is Iowa City, which is not too far south in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. And then back up to Minnesota. You could tell it meant a lot to him. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. So many, as I look back on memories with Chad over 11 seasons, I mean, I was a student intern in 05, but a full-time intern in 06. So he was the first player the Vikings drafted during my full-time tenure with the Vikings. So, we've been through, everything together since then. And so there's lots of good memories. But I think, there was a moment in 2014 toward the end of the season. I believe we were playing at Miami. And my wife was pregnant with twins and about to, to have them. And Chad's dad had just passed. And I think his contract status was a little uncertain. And we were riding from the hotel to the stadium together on the same bus, and we sat in the back, and it was a little bit of a long drive that trip from the hotel to the stadium, and we basically talked about all three of those things, and had just like kind of an unusual for that time kind of deep conversation. You usually don't get into a deep conversation on the back of a bus on the way to the stadium. But I think those poignant moments were happening for each of us in our lives that we just, kind of got into it right there. And it was just a good chat. I always remember that and lots of other moments and memories from his tenure. The Vikings won 3 division titles with Greenway as a starting linebacker, and they made the playoffs 4 times. Chad finished with over 1,300 tackles, and he'll go down as one of the greatest Vikings ever. He will be in the Ring of Honor one day, and he'll always be a part of the Vikings organization. So we wish a farewell to Chad, but we know we'll see him around, so it's not a goodbye, and that's a good thing. So we'll put a wrap on that. Let's go to one more non-free agency related topic. That's going to be the Combine, Nate. You and I spent about a week in Indianapolis at the Combine, taking in press conferences from GMs, coaches, and some of the prospects, and we watched some of the workouts. We spent some time in the stadium, out and about in Indianapolis, and always a fun event to go to, even though it's a lot of work. And I think there were some standouts, maybe from an individual standpoint, and maybe we can go through some of those right now. You know, as we were leaving, Nate, I thought Jabril Peppers was kind of stealing the show a little bit, worked out with linebackers and DBs. I thought he was an impressive guy, very confident, said that, you know, he's going to be a really good safety in the NFL. And
made a point to say that too, yeah, that he was a safety.
Yep. So I thought he was a standout. And before I turn it over to you to give one or two or three or however many you want, I'll throw another one out there, a defensive back from UConn, Obi Melifonwu.
Nice work.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah.
I was practicing off the mic before we started. He kind of stole the show on the very last day of the combine when DBs work out. 6'4", 224 pounds, out of UConn, had over 100 tackles last year, had four interceptions, three of them came against ranked opponents. But during the workout portion of the combine, the testing, a 44-inch vertical, 11-foot, 9-inch broad jump, and ran a 4.40 40-yard dash. So he...
it's a decent day.
He had a decent day. I think those two defensive players really stood out to me. I have a few more, but I don't want to steal your thunder. Anyone for you?
I was just going to say basically the whole tight end group.
Oh, yeah.
Was very impressive. And Engram from Ole Miss was one of the most impressive, mm-hmm. running the 4.42 40. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was, you know, faster than probably most of the receivers ran. I don't have it in front of me, but...
It was. In fact, only four wide receivers ran faster than him, I believe.
There you go.
I think that's the number.
So that alone's impressive, but the whole group, I mean, him, everybody knows O.J. Howard from Alabama. Yeah. And there were a handful of other guys, too, that were fast, but not only fast. They could jump. Yeah. They were strong. I mean, these tight ends are unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll throw one at you. Bucky Hodges was a top five performer in the broad jump, the vertical leap, and the 40-yard dash. He ran a 4.58 40-yard dash. I mean, so I'm not going to say all these guys are going to be Jimmy Graham.
Right.
But this is the profile of athlete you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
Tall, athletically built, you know, slim enough to be a very fluid athlete. They test well in all of the, you know, the performances, the broad jump, the vertical leap, the 40-yard dash, the three-cone drill, guys that you split out wide, that you can flex, that you can put in the slot, these pass-catching athletic tight ends. We saw a bunch of them at the combine. How about John Ross?
How about John Ross?
He's fast.
Yeah. Fastest.
Ever. Fastest ever at the combine. 4.22, 40-yard dash. That opened some eyes. Myles Garrett was a machine at the combine as well. A lot of people think he's going to be the first overall pick. Forrest Lamp looked pretty good for the offensive lineman. Running back is a fast riser. Alvin Kamara from the University of Tennessee. Broad and vertical leap, top performer, and 4.56 in the 40. So I thought he was impressive. I think the last thing I'd mention is I think fans of the Combine were winners this year
as
well.
Point.
The fan experience at the Combine was really cool, and NFL Network did another bang-up job covering it. I think Rich Eisen and Mike Mayock do a terrific job. And then on NFL.com, you could stream it on the website as well, and you could get other viewpoints like from Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah. And so if you are a fan of the Combine and you watch it on TV and online and on an app, I think you are a winner from this past year's Combine as well, because the NFL does a great job with that. So
agreed.
How much stock should we put into the Combine, Nate? Because for a lot of people, you know, you watch college football so you know the players, but for a lot of people who aren't scouts, this is the introduction to the draft, to the pre-draft process. And so it's very easy to put a lot of stock into this. And so now you think John Ross should be a top 10 pick because he set a record in the 40-yard dash.
But right.
Have you ever watched John Ross play? What was his production at the University of Washington? Can he beat press coverage? You know, some people don't even know his size. So, I mean, Do we put too much stock into the combine, Nate?
I think you sort of let it off right in that this is the first fans. This is kind of the beginning of the draft process for fans.
Yeah.
And us, really. You and I, at least. Because, you know, during the season, we have some other... Our job is to cover other things than college football.
Mm-hmm.
But for scouts, this is almost the end. You know, they're covering... They're scouting these guys at least a year in advance. You know, they probably have their eyes out 2 or 3 years early mm-hmm. for some of these guys, you know, and what scouts say, I can't say it for sure, but what scouts say is that, you know, they don't usually learn a ton at the combine. It's mm-hmm. more just confirming what they see on tape or not confirming what they see on tape, and then maybe they need to dig a little deeper.
Exactly. And I think coaches, but more specifically scouts, have profiles for each position. Like, we want, you know, if we're going to give a guy an A-plus grade, he's got to be within this height range and within this weight range, and he's got to run within this 40. You know, it's like they feel more comfortable with their elite grade on a guy if he qualifies. So I think that's part of this process as well. The other part is seeing these guys move, you know, up close and just seeing how their bodies function and how they move. And then the most important part is the meeting process and the medical part. Now, that is the most important part of the combine. So from that standpoint, the combine is not overrated. That's an invaluable part of it for teams. So let's move on to free agency. That's the big topic of the day and of the week. Free agency kicked off Thursday at 3 o'clock Central Time. And obviously the headlines have been flowing for several days now as it relates to free agency.
And again, we'll caution you that we're recording this prior to that 3 right. p.m. deadline, which I guess makes the most sense for us.
It does, yep.
Because that's, you know... Whatever happens after that, it's happening by the minute.
Right, and I would imagine that by the end of the weekend or perhaps by the end of business on Monday, we will have recorded another one giving you an update on where we stand or on who we signed or on who visited and all that. But we did get one item of business done.
What's that?
We re-signed Jeremiah Searles.
There we go.
Welcome back, Jeremiah. Got that done. Cross it off the list. Jeremiah was an important part of the Vikings' ability to patchwork together an offensive line last season through all the injuries. The Vikings obviously liked enough of what they saw from him to bring him back, so Jeremiah Searles will be on the roster here for the offseason and training camp and presumably the 2017 regular season.
Joking aside, that is an important signing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just use last year as an example. You need all the offensive linemen you can get.
Yeah, and he might be the starting like right guard or right tackle.
Right.
We're glad to get him back. Bigger name free agents for the Vikings, Nate. Run down the list. What do we got?
Well, I guess we should start with Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
It's known. We've announced that we're not going to retain him
right.
at his current contract.
Right.
That was announced at the combine. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he's not coming back here to play for the Vikings.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see what the market is out there. I mean, there's already tweets and things out there about what teams he's interested in and what teams might be interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for a player like Adrian, you probably wouldn't expect him to sign right at 3 o'clock.
I do not. I think it'll be
on the first day of free agency.
Yeah. I think it'll be a few days at least, and maybe if he doesn't like anything, he might wait until like in the summer to sign or after training camp to sign. Who knows what's going to happen with Adrian? But we've our friends at the NFL Network were talking about him, so here's what they had to say.
Can't stop Adrian Peterson maybe hitting free agency as a veteran turning 32. Potential landing spots. We just heard from Stacey Dales. What do you have to
add? It's a weird deal, Kay, because so far we've heard from Adrian Peterson's father. He's talked to Chris Thomason out in Minnesota and said he would like to return to the Vikings at a price. We heard from Stacey Dales saying that a source close to Peterson says Raiders and Seahawks. Then we've heard a lot of stuff from Peterson, you know, in Boston saying a close source to Peterson said he'd be willing to take less money for me.
And he sent out the tweet to the Giants saying interesting move by the Giants.
It's a lot of one way, you know, hey, I'm interested in this or I'm interested in that. I would do this. This is one of the greatest running backs of all time. Uh-huh. And yet we've never heard yet from any source at any team saying we want Adrian Peterson. So for me, it's a very weird deal because I look at Peterson as the greatest running back of his generation.
100%.
Still has some tread on the tires. And we're talking about teams that he might want to go, but the teams aren't reciprocating. Look, Daryl Bevel was his offensive coordinator in Minnesota. It makes sense in Seattle. I like that. The Oakland offensive line, Kay, like, I like that. But just because a player might want to, this isn't LeBron James and the decision.
Uh-huh.
It has to be both ways. A team has to want him back.
Take my talents to Seattle? Is that what you're saying?
And then, he shows up and Seattle says, oh, okay. I mean, like.
Well, listen. Here's the thing. You know, we were having this campfire conversation yesterday about free agency and the different times in my career where I hit free agency. And during the commercial break, I told you that I didn't speak out and say what teams I wanted to play for because I wanted everybody to have an equal want for me. But once you get to a point in your career where you're not as sought after, you almost have to throw that out there. And I'm not saying this is desperation, but I am saying that Adrian Peterson is in a point in his career where he can't wait and the world wants him. At one point, 32 teams wanted Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And now that has dwindled down because of injury, because of age, because teams are already being set with a running back. So I believe he is throwing out just subtle names, subtle teams, subtle organizations saying, you know what, here's the thing. If you sign me, I can't help your squad. I think it's a realization of where he's at in his career. And we've been talking about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the Adrian. He's not an old Adrian Peterson, but he's not the Adrian Peterson of old. He's going to have to go somewhere and be a complimentary piece. And I like it. I like the fact that he's throwing out certain teams because he doesn't want to go just anywhere and play for any amount of money.
I feel like it reminds me that once on Facebook, I changed my status from in a relationship to single. And I was like, let's go. Start your engines.
There you go.
Let's do it. And I wasn't getting any attention. And I thought I was worthy of that. No one's dropping into my inbox. To your point, Nate, look, the skills aren't there. The game has changed. The 25 carries to a running back, that doesn't happen anymore. That's what he does.
Yeah.
He's missed 28 games over the last three seasons. You guys heard my list of top free agents at the running back spot yesterday. You heard Peter say, I'm not hearing chirping about any of these running backs. So maybe it's less about Adrian Peterson
right.
and what's left in his career and what he can do, and more about the fact that there's so much depth at the running back spot coming in with an impressive class.
Mm-hmm.
There's everything you hear from a GM and the coaches. You can always find depth later on, and maybe they can just kick back and sort of wait and see what happens. You don't have to immediately call up Adrian Peterson, because I'm not hearing or reading reports about Eddie Lacy or LeGarrette Blount. I do think it's interesting that we saw some stuff on the network over the past 24 hours that LeGarrette Blount not so likely to return to New England. So if Peterson made that claim, but he maybe wants to go there, that'd be an interesting fit for the future.
It's like a bad time to be single.
James White and company.
You're right. It's a bad time.
You've got
a lot of guys
like
out
McCaffrey
there.
And all those running backs coming in. Hot young guys. There we go.
Interesting perspectives there from our friends at the NFL Network. With all that being said, wherever Adrian goes, Nate, wherever he signs, here or wherever, that's going to be an exciting moment for that franchise and its fans. Like, that's a cool thing to get Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, whether he goes to a place where he is the guy, like he's been here for his career, basically, or he's like a half-and-half guy, you got to be pretty excited about having a Hall of Fame running back in your backfield.
Going down the list of other bigger name Vikings free agents, looks like Matt Khalil will sign in Carolina. That's what the rumors say anyway. Captain Munnerlin is a free agent. Terrence Newman is a free agent. Would be cool to have him back in Mike Zimmer's defense. Of course, Cordero Patterson, a free agent. Matt Asiata, Rhett Ellison, Zach Line, Jeff Locke, all free agents. Adam Thielen and Charles Johnson scheduled to be restricted free agents. Reports that Adam Thielen was tendered at a second-round level would be good news for the Vikings to have him in 2017 and maybe even beyond. It would be great to work out a long-term extension with him. Nate, let's do a Twitter search. Hashtag Vikings free agency. Some names that pop up. Who are people talking about for the Vikings?
Well, the first name I see is tackle Russell Okung.
Okay.
What can you tell me about him?
29 years old, first rounder in 2010 of the Seahawks, won a Super Bowl with Denver, was with Seattle before that, then signed in Denver and won a Super Bowl. 85 games played and started for Russell Okung at left tackle would be a quality pickup for a team that needs a starter at left tackle, if you ask me.
One interesting thing I saw also on Twitter is that, if you remember, Russell Okung represents himself.
Yes.
He doesn't have an agent. He is his agent.
Yeah.
So by that logic, teams, this is what I'm reading, teams can't talk to him until 3 p.m. today.
Because the tampering thing is, teams can talk to representatives. They cannot talk to the client. But he's both. So what's the rule there? Yeah, interesting.
So he's probably doing the same thing, just looking on Twitter.
Right, exactly, yes.
Next name I see is Riley Reiff.
We know him, Detroit
Lion.
First-round pick of the Lions, I believe, in 2012. 69 games played, 77 starts. He has been a starter at both right tackle and left tackle. But more recently, he's been the Lions' right tackle. What you'd like about him is if he is a starting tackle for you, but then you get an injury somewhere else, he's one of those guys that you can shuffle around. So he helps you become flexible when you're facing injuries. So a lot to like about that guy. He's also somewhat one of us. He's a South Dakota native, went to the University of Iowa. Sounds a lot like Chad Greenway's path. So that's an interesting name to tie to the Vikings.
And as I keep looking, I see a lot of other names, but you can kind of sum it up as the Vikings, at least according to Twitter, are in the hunt for every offensive lineman out there.
I mean, for like three straight seasons, the Vikings have gotten unlucky with injuries along the offensive line. And last year was, you know, the best, in a bad way, example of that. You know, they were ravaged by injuries. So, of course, naturally, whether it's the draft or free agency, we're going to be tied to offensive linemen.
Ooh, an interesting name I'm seeing.
Yeah.
On the defensive line, one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Domata Peko.
Aha.
From Cincinnati.
From Cincinnati. Zimmer coached him in Cincinnati. Put him next to Linval Joseph, and good luck to everyone who wants to run the ball. Just good luck to you.
We're joking around, but those are like some names that a lot of people think would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't know anything. We couldn't say anything if we did.
Right.
But it is interesting to see some of the names, whether they make sense or whether they probably don't. But here's a lot of other names that you know, maybe might make sense for the Vikings.
Kevin Zietler from Cincinnati, Chance Warmack, Ronald Leary from Dallas, TJ Lang from the Packers, Luke Jokel, a former top pick, I believe, from the Jaguars, can play guard or tackle, Larry Warford from the Lions, played next to Riley Reiff, JC Treader from the Packers, Anquan Boldin would be kind of an interesting signing for someone. I mean, because you think he's done, but he just keeps producing. Eddie Lacy, Latavius Murray, Andre Ellington, Devin Taylor, an impressive defensive end slash defensive lineman from the Lions, could be like a second-tier guy who signs and could beef up someone's depth along the defensive line. Just some interesting names to watch here as free agency begins and kind of continues throughout the weekend and into next week.
Some of those names from teams in the NFC North, mm-hmm. like Detroit, but there's already been a little bit of action with some players that have already been cut and have been able to assign or to agree to deals in the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Glennon looks like he's going to be a Chicago Bear. They'll get one option at quarterback with him, the former Buccaneers quarterback. Of course, the question with the Bears, the big question with them is Alshon Jeffrey, who's an unrestricted free agent beginning at 3 o'clock Thursday. Will he stay or will he go? We saw the Giants get a big-name receiver in Brandon Marshall. I think Alshon Jeffrey is the next one on that list. See where he goes. The Detroit Lions, it looks like, are going to get Ricky Wagner from Baltimore. Offensive tackle, plays right tackle, I believe. Nice signing for the Lions, especially if they do indeed lose Riley Reiff to somebody. And the Lions could also lose Larry Warford because he's scheduled to be a free agent. So Ricky Wagner kind of helps them fill a void there. The Green Bay Packers re-sign outside linebacker Nick Perry. A good player, good against the run, good pass rusher. Julius Peppers for the Packers is a free agent, though. Be interesting to see where he goes, if he sticks with Green Bay and finishes his career there, or if he goes back to Carolina where he started his career to finish it up there. So a few interesting names in the NFC North.
Overall, it should be an interesting afternoon and few days here.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right, let's wind it up with some fan mail.
Okay.
The first question's from Chris. It says, what does it take to be on the do not draft list? I'm specifically curious as it relates to Joe Mixon, who's a very talented running back that I believe will be available when we pick in the second round. Mixon is viewed by some scouts as the best running back available in the draft. With a player with this type of baggage and talent, does ownership have to approve the decision to draft? With this amount of veterans on the team, can't we handle this player?
Yeah, it's an interesting question by Chris. I think I've never been in draft meetings or in a war room, draft room on draft day. So I'm basically, you know, reading between the lines and using perception here. But I think what it takes to get on the do not draft list to be taken off the board, I think it probably varies from organization to organization. And it might, you know, it can happen where it's like you have such a severe alert in one category, injury, character, or performance, you're so severely deficient in one of those categories that you're off the board. But it probably could also be you're bad enough in multiple ones where the combination takes you off the board. And then I think it varies from organization to organization. And at the end of the day, I mean, the owners in theory sign off on all draft picks, you know, because everyone reports to the owner. But yeah, when you get to some of these, you know, these unique situations or these extreme situations, I think it's reasonable to assume that, you know, that the owners do have to sign off on something like that. And I can't speak to the Vikings process specifically or where the Vikings have a guy like Joe Mixon or any of these other players that some think have question marks on them. I don't know where they are on the Vikings board, but yeah, I mean, it's probably going to take an ownership sign off, you know, to draft someone like Joe Mixon, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes. It's one of the big talkers in this draft, and it will continue to be that way until draft day.
Next question is from Roger. He says, some teams let their slightly above average players enter free agency and are rewarded compensatory picks for losing those players. Which players under Viking contracts fall into that category? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be a smart strategy to let players like Adrian, Matt Khalil, and Captain Munnerlyn test the waters in order to get compensatory picks for them? Mm-hmm. New England seems to excel in this strategy of being able to replace cogs in their machine seamlessly and not keeping pieces past their value. New England seems to be good at a lot of things, actually.
Yeah, they do a lot of things well. Yeah, you know, the comp picks are to help teams replenish their roster if they lose players via free agency. But, you know, you would rather keep a good player than get a comp pick.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, I'm not a GM, but I would think it's probably not the best strategy to just hope for comp picks.
All the comp picks are is a little bit of a silver lining for losing a player you wish you could keep. That's really what it is. You'd never intentionally let a player that you want walk out the door just so you can get a fifth-round pick. And by the way, it's like it's really a sixth-round pick because it's the comp picks start at the end of the round. So if you get a fifth-round compensatory pick, the best it can be is the 33rd pick of the fifth round. You'd much rather have a good player that you know that's already been on your team than that. You know, I don't think it's a good strategy to intentionally allow a good player to walk out the door to get a comp pick, but the comp picks do help you at least somewhat replenish some, best case scenario, some talent, but at least some numbers on your roster. I don't get too wrapped up into the comp picks, although it is cool. You can now trade compensatory picks, so that's kind of cool. The Vikings don't have any this year. Oh, also, like if you lose Patterson, if he goes and signs with the Raiders and gets $40 million over 4 years and he leads the NFL in kickoff return yardage next year, yeah, that's good enough to get a comp pick. But if you sign two starting offensive linemen and a wide receiver and a D-tackle, you've now gained more free agents than you've lost, so you wouldn't get a comp pick for Patterson. You have to lose more free agents than you sign via the NFL's formula to get a comp pick. So I think it's a big deal when comp picks are announced, but that's just because it's just the latest thing that was announced. I don't think in the grand scheme of thing, a comp pick is a huge deal. All right.
That wraps it up. So we said goodbye to Chad.
Yes.
We said goodbye to the NFL Combine.
Yes.
We said hello to free agency and the beginning of the new NFL season.
And that's a wrap on the Wobcast. We're going to be back soon, I think, with another edition of the Wobcast. Maybe it will be with some exciting news. Maybe it will be with a guest. Maybe it will be with both. The subject of the exciting news is a player we sign, and then he'll be the guest on the Wobcast. That'd be really cool. Lots of news and headlines and stuff will be happening over the next few days. Of course, Vikings.com is your source for everything purple, so make sure you stay tuned to Vikings.com and the Vikings app to get all your up-to-date Vikings news. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. Hope you guys all have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next time.
So, yeah!